Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
The Word of God should not be put up for a vote. The great Orthodox churches of the world, constituting 99% of the Christians of the world, do not even consider the change that we have in mind with this social statement.
If we're looking for a biblical basis for a social statement or anything else we're about to do here, what about Jesus saying, "Judge not, that you be not judged"?
It's Dr. Robert Benny, a Lutheran delegate from Virginia, also a guest on this program at one time, and Larry Christensen, a Lutheran delegate from Iowa, speaking yesterday in Minneapolis at the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The question, of course, that they're dealing with is whether or not they will lift their ban on the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy, gay and lesbian pastors. That's the question they're talking about. Now, as churches often do when they gather together, questions get asked, discussions begin, and then the hard work of trying to actually get to a vote slows down. That's a little bit of what's happened so far at the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's Churchwide Assembly in Minneapolis. It's going on today and through the rest of this week. But this is the thing they're talking about, and I want to hear from you about it as well. They haven't officially decided to do so, but many are anticipating that they will be lifting the ban on openly gay and lesbian clergy. In fact, yesterday, Mark Hansen, in speaking to the assembly, even slipped up a little bit and said gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered, and then he corrected himself, saying, no, I'm going to stick to the language of the actual documents in front of that largest Lutheran church body. I want to know what you think about it. It's audio open lines. We'll be playing some audio from the floor of that churchwide assembly, and especially hearing from you. 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE, or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio. It's Wednesday afternoon, August the 19th. We can take them in the studio. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Let's begin with the latest on the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America from National Public Radio.
First it was the Episcopalians, now it's the Lutherans. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, one of the nation's largest Christian churches, may be on the brink of allowing gay clergy. More than 1,000 clergy and lay people will gather in Minneapolis on Monday. They'll be deciding whether to change policy and permit pastors in gay relationships to serve in the ministry. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty has our report.
Why, you ask? Why should I listen to another story about gay clergy? I wondered that too, but then I realized something remarkable has happened. This once incendiary issue has become, well, humdrum. And with breathtaking speed, at least for the 4.6 million baptized members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Consider the story of Bradley Schmeling, who pastors St. John's Lutheran Church in Atlanta. Early on, he told his bishop that he was gay, but not in a relationship, which was okay by church rules.
In 2004, I met Darren Eastler at church, just like your mother wants you to do, and our relationship progressed, and it became clear that this was a relationship for life, so I did go and tell the bishop.
The bishop asked Schmeling to resign. Schmeling's church reacted differently.
They all clapped. And their immediate interests were, what was he like? Where is he from? I had to kind of remind them that there would be consequences for the relationship.
For Schmeling's job and possibly for the church. Soon after, the bishop filed charges against Schmeling in a church court. And in February 2007, the jury said that the policy was unfair, but rules are rules and Schmeling should be removed from ministry. St. John's kept him on, which was a risky decision. If Schmeling remained in the pulpit, the church could be kicked out of the denomination. Schmeling's trial ignited a debate that has been smoldering for years. At the National Assembly a few months later, the Lutherans passed a resolution saying the bishops did not have to enforce the rule barring gay ministers if they didn't want to.
Now, that's exactly what's led them to where they are today. I want to point out something that should be obvious in hearing even the briefest of histories of how this subject progresses. I won't say it does this in every church body. There have been church bodies like the United Church of Christ that did this with eyes wide open. There was no sneaking the issue in. They planned on it for years, and they had the ordination of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people in a very rather easy fashion. But churches that should know better, say the Episcopal Church USA, and especially churches like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it happens in a slightly different way, and that is, first they practice what they condemn, and then they approve of what they condemn. First they permit to be practiced what it is they say in principle they're against. And then later, after it's been practiced enough, and enough bishops have looked the other way, and enough pastors have announced that they're gay or lesbian, and enough of them have said, I'm going to enter into a relationship, and the congregations have clapped and said, good for you, pastor. Then eventually the church says, well, we've been doing this for so long, we might as well find a way of formalizing it. In fact, the longer we do it without formalizing it, the more inconsistent between our teaching and our practice, the greater the inconsistency grows. And God forbid that they should actually stop practicing what it is they outwardly condemn. They just drop the condemnation. It's called approving in practice what you disapprove of in principle. And it happens in church bodies all the time. Church bodies affirm in principle a certain biblical teaching, but in practice they permit every man to do as he pleases. And you do that long enough, and pretty soon, what's going to give? Not your practice. What's going to give is your principle, each and every time. I want to hear from you. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues Etc. Live this Thursday afternoon, August the 19th. What do you think about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or TalkBack at issuesetc.org.
No one knows how many bishops look the other way, but people on both sides believe there are at least a dozen or two churches with, quote, irregular pastors. And now, the pro-gay lobby is gaining momentum, less through bomb-throwing than just wearing the conservative opposition down.
Most of our people are, frankly, tired of the struggle, but I don't think we want to give up. I know we don't.
That's Reverend Paul Spring, who heads the Lutheran Coalition for Reform, a group that opposes the ordination of clergy in openly gay relationships.
There's nothing personal attached to this at all, but it is a biblical concern. What does Holy Scripture teach about marriage? What does it teach about family? What does it teach about sexuality? It's very clear. There is no support within Holy Scripture for this kind of relationship.
Those wanting gay ministers disagree. They say Jesus was all about including everyone in his work and mission. Now that disagreement is being put to the test, and it looks as if the liberals have a good chance of winning. And so conservatives like Paul Spring are already preparing to create a new church within the ELCA with its own constitution, education system, and rules for calling ministers.
So we intend to remain technically within the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, but practically we will become a de facto synod.
As for Bradley Schmeling, he'll attend the assembly as an observer since he's no longer recognized as a minister. If his side wins, he says he'll apply to be readmitted to the church, and he hopes he'll move out of the spotlight as a national symbol.
So I'm kind of looking forward to just slipping back into obscurity and being a regular parish pastor.
Of course, the 1,000-plus participants in the assembly can vote any way they want, and they could dash Bradley Schmeling's hopes. But even conservatives believe that change is inevitable, if not this year, then at the next assembly in 2011. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
So what do you think? Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. It's live Wednesday afternoon, August the 19th, talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy. Talkback@issuesetc.org or give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Up first, Chris in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Are the numbers of the confessional Lutherans combined all the denominations of the confessional Lutherans still higher than the ELCA? And are their numbers, are the ELCA's numbers misleading because a lot of them, a lot of their numbers are not very active?
It's an interesting question. Okay, there's two different ways of going about this. If the question is, if you took the ostensibly conservative or more conservative confessional Lutheran church bodies and combined them together, how would they compare numerically with the evangelical Lutheran church in America? Well, if you did, a rough guess here, you're talking about basically three denominations and a bunch of very small, microscopic little fellowships, denominations, and dioceses for the confessional side. You're still only going to get to be about maybe 3 million all said, and that's 3 million on the rolls. That's not 3 million who are in church, paying attention, things like that, as opposed to 5 million in the evangelical Lutheran church in America. And again, that's not 5 million all said. That's 5 million on the rolls, but it still doesn't compare. It is the largest by far a Lutheran denomination in the United States. Now, if you're asking the question about whether or not theologically confessional Lutherans outnumber more liberal unconfessional Lutherans, can't think of a better term than unconfessional, well, then that's anyone's guess. Because, of course, any denomination, even a confessional, ostensibly confessional Lutheran church body like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has a fair number of unconfessional Lutherans in it. And the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has a fair number of still very unhappy but confessional Lutherans in there. They're staying, I don't know why, but they're there. We know that they're there. We talk with them. So that's another question. I think there you might have more of an even number game going on. But that's just a guess. I know that as time goes on, the number of confessional Lutherans grow and grow, which always makes those who care less for the confessions for scriptural fidelity a little bit nervous. As time goes on, the number of confessional Lutherans continue to grow. I am convinced that there is a confessional revival underway, although you wouldn't be able to tell by looking at it, especially the largest Lutheran church body in the United States. When we come back, audio open lines, your email, your phone calls, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Everyone's talking about the mission of the church. Is it possible to care more about evangelism than the evangel, the gospel? What's the relationship between the cross of Christ and the church's mission? And what can the Reformation teach us about the mission of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is Mission from the Cross. You can buy Mission from the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Mission from the Cross.
Time for change. I know that it's time for a cool change.
We're talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America contemplating, as we speak, the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy. 10 minutes left for your phone calls and for your email on the issue. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's hear from some proponents of ordaining openly gay and lesbian pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. There are some voices there in Minneapolis going to the floor and making various arguments. Here's one, a delegate from Massachusetts, Gladys Moore.
What trust Jesus the Christ has placed in us that we should be witnesses to this gift of unconditional love for all people, especially in this instance, as that love is expressed through the gift of human sexuality.
Now, the argument here, of course, is that the loving thing to do is for the church to not only accept as persons, but accept and affirm the behavior of and the orientation of gay and lesbian persons so far as allowing them to serve as pastors in the church. It would be unloving to do anything less, goes the argument. It's interesting. Actually, it's not really an argument. It's just an assertion that Jesus has somehow trusted the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America with this great task of showing unconditional love. Of course, she doesn't present an argument, a biblical basis for Jesus entrusting the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America with this great act of unconditional love. I think we need to respond that love is part of the formula here. Is it the loving thing for the church to affirm homosexuality in this form, or in any form, or any sin for that matter? Is it the loving thing for the church to affirm sin, whatever it may be, or to rebuke it and offer and grant forgiveness in Christ's name for it? Which is the more loving thing? Now, I think the biblical answer there, and there are many Bible passages to back that one up, is obvious. Next, Philip Moeller is a Lutheran lay delegate from Washington, D.C. He says he doesn't believe homosexuality is sinful.
I stand here as a gay man, but I stand here most centrally as one who has received the grace of Christ.
Care to react? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Daniel in Iowa City emails us, "It is crazy to think that the ELCA will somehow be better if ordination of gay and lesbian clergy is defeated. This is all part of a bigger problem, their disregard for the Word of God by subjecting it to human reason and interpretation. Problems such as the current issue will plague this quote-unquote church until Christ's return." You're right, it does have to do with how they view the Word of God. Now, they would not admit that. But I think it's obvious from anyone looking in from the outside that these kind of arguments can't be made. The church does nothing that it isn't authorized to do, and the only authority that we have is God's Word, unless we want to seek a different source of authority, which the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America obviously has. You have to set aside Scripture in order to do it. Charles is listening in St. Louis. Charles, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, Pastor, good afternoon. Yes, I was just commenting that it seems like there's a lot of shallow arguments going on the basis of the proponents of this, I don't know what you call them, a bill or whatever policy. And I was really surprised that a theologically trained delegate quoted the, in my opinion, the overused and abused statement of Jesus when he says, "Judge not that you not be judged." Now, certainly that's a correct terminology, I mean, a correct statement that Jesus used, but when in context. But there are various scriptures, quite a few of them, that talk about Christians to be judging. In fact, 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 talk about the whole concept of judging. So I'm thinking that his argument was rather shallow. By the way, I'd just like to have your opinion on whether you think they'll pass a policy or not, and I'll hang up. Thanks a lot.
Well, first, my opinion, yes, I think they will pass it. With the caveat that there are all sorts of procedural hurdles that can be erected by people who are against the lifting of the ban on gay clergy in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that may forestall it for a time. But one way or the other, sooner or later, they will pass it. I believe, private opinion here, but I'll share it with you, I believe they'll pass it this week. One way or the other, it's going to happen. If they don't, it will get passed next time. There's simply too much momentum here. Now they've kind of laid it out on the line. They kind of have to pass it or not. And the leadership doesn't appear to be countenancing anything except the possibility that this stuff gets passed. Now, as to your question or to your comment, I think it's quite true that the judge not lest you be judged, old saw. Didn't I write an article, Jeff, at some point on this one? What was the name of that article? It just completely escapes me. Jeff will remember it here in a minute and tell me. I wrote an article on these trump cards that people play. Usually theological liberals will play these trump cards, and one of them is judge not lest you be judged. Well, isn't there an implied condemnation in that? Judge not lest you be judged. Isn't that a rather judgmental statement? To utter those words as though, hey, you're judging the homosexuals, so judge not, is not just an implied, it's a very clear judgment that I'm doing something wrong. So someone says, judge not lest you be judged, say same right back at you, judge not. Of course, Jesus does not mean that no one should judge anything. He means we should not condemn in the place of God. That is the final condemnation, the final judgment that only God can render. But when we are equipped with God's word that speaks clearly against our sin, judge ourselves, and other sins, then we are bound by the word of God to render judgment on the basis of God's word. And the one thing that the opponents of gay ordination in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America have on their side, if they'd only take it up, is God's word. They have it on their side. More from some proponents of ordaining openly gay and lesbian clergy in the ELCA, Phil Soucy of Lutherans Concerned North America says Bible verses on homosexuality can be understood in all sorts of ways.
We do not question the authority of Scripture, but Lutherans will argue endlessly about the interpretation.
There again, another not-so-obvious sleight of hand. Of course, they do question the authority of Scripture. There's more than one way to skin a cat, they always say. There's more than one way to question the authority of Scripture. You can either openly question it by saying Scripture is not the sole authority, or it's not sufficient authority, or it's not any authority at all. Or you can say, we interpret these passages in such a way that they no longer are authoritative for us. But in either way, whether you do it by open denial or fancy misinterpretation, you've denied the authority of Scripture. Soucy also believes that Bible verses condemning homosexuality are not conclusive.
There is no consensus either among theologians about what those verses actually mean or who they were talking about.
Well, there's no consensus today, but there has been for the better part of 2,000 years. The consensus has been actively overturned by liberal Bible scholarship. They are denying that there has been a consensus. There is no consensus today. Although I dare say, if you check the majority of Christian theologians in the world, not just this little enclave, this little ghetto called Lutheranism, especially Evangelical Lutheran Church in America brand Lutheranism, you will find general consensus that would agree with 2,000 years of consensus on the part of the church, that when it condemns homosexuality, it really is condemning homosexuality. And when St. Paul says that these are among the works of darkness, along with my sin too, by the way, folks, all the sins that I entertain, if I'm going to say he condemns homosexuality, I've got to accept what Paul says about the sins that I like too. When Paul condemns it, he really is condemning it based upon the word of the Lord. And even if there were no consensus at all, it wouldn't make any difference. The Bible still says what it says, without a doubt. Don writes, what we see going on in the ELCA today is the deplorable destruction of a church body that is no longer bound by Holy Scripture. What would Dr. Luther say about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America if he knew what they were doing? The entire Bible is the Word of God. For a long time, the former church bodies that made up the ELCA did not hold the entire Bible to be the Word of God. All you have to do is look at the history and the path to this destruction, and it was said a long time ago, says Don. When professors teach that the Bible contains the Word of God and is not the Word of God, then the path is set. When they teach that the Bible contains mistakes and it's up to me to pick and choose what is true for me, then you can do as you please. There's no reason for a church body like that to exist, and that's why churches like that are dying. You're quite true. You're quite right. And always be on your guard whenever you hear anyone say something like, the Bible contains the Word of God. They might be slipping up, and you might just ask them, do you mean it contains the Word of God, that some of it is the Word of God, or do you mean it is the Word of God? There's a big difference between the two. A listener from Detroit, in a way, I secretly hope that the ELCA passes it. I'd like to see the confessionals in the ELCA, LCMS, and the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod get together and form a new synod and let the rest go their way. I think that if the ELCA passes this, it would set the ball rolling. Thank you very much for that email. Also, Matt in Nebraska, what's the purpose of receiving grace if something is not a sin? The delegate who stated that he had received grace but was gay. That's true. I mean, he said, I'm a gay man who's received grace. Look, I've received grace too. Here's what it is. I have my sin, you have yours. Let's all really truly receive grace, and that is repent of our sins and be forgiven through Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.